The title of this message today is Sexual Immorality, Our New Jezebel. And what God has revealed to me is something really profound in that, you know, when Pastor had mentioned that we were dealing with a spirit, we were dealing with this Jezebel spirit, and we all sat down and we all spent time and we researched and we sought the Lord as to what and where we were going to go as far as our method and where we were planning to attack this spirit. And ironically so, God had pricked my heart to stab towards the sexual immorality aspect, which, if anybody here knows anything in Scripture, would realize that this is one of the worst sins that we could possibly deal with. Not just because of the fact that, A, it's sin and it's against God's will and it separates us from God, but the simple fact that we're dealing with a sin that doesn't just hurt us. It hurts other people along with us. And this sin is really, really, really flagrant in our society today. But I'm not here to talk about what's going on in the world. I'm here to talk about what's going on in the church. So if you could, turn with me to Revelations 2, chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. And we're going to have two more scriptures coming after them. I will warn you on them now. You don't have to turn to them. We'll get to them when we get to them. The other scriptures we'll be coming out of are 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8, and 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Is everybody at Revelations 2? Yes? Yes? Response. There's not many of you. It's okay. I want to make sure everybody's here for this because, you know what? The importance of the words that are being spoken here in Revelations. Mind you, this is Jesus speaking at this time through this revelation, okay? Nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. By her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food sacrificed to idols. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely unless they repent of her ways. Okay. First of all, let's just do a little history study. I don't want to spend too much time on it. But Jezebel, okay? If you go into Kings, you can read about Jezebel. There's a battery issue, I'm being told. We're on. Good? Okay. No, don't be sorry. Don't be sorry. Okay, so Jezebel, okay? If we go into Kings and we do our research about her, we know she was married to Ahab, who was the king of Israel, okay? And mind you, both of these two individuals were immensely corrupted, okay? If you look at Ahab's history, it is a fallen state that has progressed from generation to generation to generation to generation, okay? He had fallen very, very far from the tree, so to speak, okay? But he had married this woman, Jezebel, who, along with her society and her traditions that she brought with her, these worshiping of idols, okay? This worshiping of Baal worship and Asherah worship, okay? Who these two were professed to be gods, okay? But their style of worship manifested many different forms to sacrificing of children, cutting of themselves, flagrant sexual proclivity within the temple, okay? It was a part of their worship, okay? This was very obviously against God, anti-God, and we're talking about the king of Israel here is promoting this in the house of Israel, okay, during this time. All right, so the idea that we're looking at here is what made Israel accept these behaviors? What brought the acceptance of these behaviors? Because we have to recognize that these were accepted. People participated in this worship. People participated in it thinking it was okay. This is okay for us to be doing these things. Okay? There's something tremendously wrong. These people had known the God of past and known the God of Abraham and Isaac and all these other things, and yet still were able to become so distant and far off from what God had initially intended his people to be. So what persuaded them? What got them to believe that this was okay? And the reality of it was the pleasure. It was the pleasure of being happy. What made them happy? Sex. Sex made them happy. Well, sex within marriage makes married couples happy, right? God promotes that within a marriage. So why then were these people so torn away from being married and being able to spend time with their spouses and so on and so forth? This was flat out against God. They weren't having sex with their mates. They were having sex with everybody. People, other people's people, animals. You run it. It was perverted to the utmost degree. Okay? This is what kind of worship was taking place. Okay? So we already know, if we look in Scripture, we can find everywhere, and I mean everywhere, how God does not condone sex outside of marriage. You look up anything sexual immorality, you can go to any Strong's and look it up. You will find a laundry list of how God does not approve of this, okay? So, and this is truth. I'm not speaking anything outside of that, okay? So what is it that we can break it down into a simple definition, okay? And here's what I got. Sex outside of marriage, or any abuse or bastardization of this act that God created for husbands and wives to enjoy, is sexual immorality. Sound good? Okay? We're not talking about just sex itself, but any bastardization therefore of. This can go in all many streams. I don't want to open up all the gates because I don't want people to sit there and go, oh, well, you know, that's kind of a, you know, disgusting thing to talk about in church. We can visualize, okay, the different things that we do, all right, as people, or have done in our flesh before we got saved and things like that, that we knew down out and right, if it wasn't sex inside a marriage or any form thereof, was sexual immorality. Okay? I know our minds can go to these places, but I'm trying to get our minds out of these places. So I don't want to focus on the negative here. Okay? So where's the problem? Well, a lot of pastors have done these preachings of, you know, sin in the camp and, you know, oh, we got to deal with the sin issue. We got to talk to these people and we got to open up the sin issues in their lives, right? Because after all, they're willfully sinning and they're sitting in the pews and they're sitting in the church and all this stuff is going on. We got to expose this sin. We got to expose this sin in you, sir. You know, because after all, God can't use you until this sin is dealt with, right? But now, these are the messages that are being preached, correct? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. So, what's the problem, though? There's a problem with that philosophy. Even in that, there's just a slight problem. The fact is that we're not focusing on the right thing. We're not. If I'm sitting here going, you know what, you got a sin issue. You know what, that you need to deal with. And, you know, I'm here to help you. I want to help you deliver you of that sin issue. That's not, I mean, there may be truth to this. There may actually be truth to this. There is nothing, I'm not saying that preachers and pastors that go around and say, you know, you need to be delivered of this sin, that God can't move and deliver these people of their sin. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that their approach is wrong. Because here's the problem, folks. Here's the problem. We are not to war against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we are not dealing with people here. We are dealing with a spirit. A spirit. We are not to sit there and go, you have this or you got that or this, that, and the other. Because what am I doing? I'm pointing the finger. And when I'm pointing the finger, I got 3 pointing back at me. You know what? And I'm opening that door for that spirit to come into my life. I want to deal with the spirit. That's what I want to deal with. And today, I am commissioning you all. This is a declaration today. And you are going to hear many messages following after this that are going to be declaring the same thing. We are at war. And this spirit is here, people. It is here. It is in the Church of America today. This Jezebel spirit is here. We are exposing her right now. This is just one of her many facets we are exposing, but you will see the exposure of this spirit and where she resides in the church today. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So let's take a look at some deeper, let's look a little bit deeper into Revelations 2, okay? Because I want to point out some really key terms here in the scripture. Okay, if you guys have it, you might want to underline it or whatever. I did that for me. Okay, first let's look at the first word that comes across. It says, nevertheless, I have this against you. You tolerate. 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 That means we accept her influence. We accept it. It is okay. We say, let's say for parents with their children. Now, I know many parents, it's a struggle being a parent. Amen? It is. It's a struggle. How much is too much discipline? How far do you go? Things of that nature. How do you keep your children from being unruly or just downright, flagrant and rude and not doing anything you tell them to do? You know, there's extreme after extreme after extreme with children and parenting. Correct? Okay? But there is a level of which you will not tolerate, correct, from your children. There is a point at which that is inacceptable, inexcusable behavior. Any parent here would agree that there just comes a point where that is crossed the line. There are consequences after that, correct? But what we're seeing here is that they tolerated her. They tolerated this spirit, okay? That's a big problem. Because after all, we're supposed to stand for righteousness, right?
Right?
Righteousness. Well, righteousness is what? Right standing with God, right? So if I have this righteousness, I have this right standing with God, that means I have the standards in which God set forth here. I am in those standards. I am in that line, right? But if I tolerate something that is against these standards, where am I? I sure as heck am not in righteousness. I sure as heck am not in right standing with God. Therefore, I am at the beck and whim of this spirit. This spirit now has gained control.
Right.
Recognize this, people. I'm not trying to be mean to you, but recognize the second we tolerate this spirit, we give her control. It's very important we understand this. I raise my hand because guess what? I was here. This message pricked my heart, and it has been a tough trial. And anybody who knows about this spirit who's going through these messages right now will see. There is a big issue here, and it's not just me. It isn't just me. But we're going to get to that in a little bit. Okay, next step. Next step. Go just a little bit further. That woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. Who calls herself a prophetess. Very important. Very key. This means she is going around telling us she hears on behalf of God. She is here on behalf of God. This is what God says is okay. I guarantee you, every single one of us have heard this voice in our head. I will give you the exact voice. And if you had this voice in your head, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I know I'm here. I'm raising my hand already because I know. I've heard this voice. This voice sounds like this. Oh, it's okay. God will forgive you. No, it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. After all, I mean, everybody else does it, so it's, it's okay. God will forgive you. It's not a big deal. I mean, really. And after all, there is worse. I mean, you could have been doing this instead, or it could be way worse. I mean, you could have went all the way. Let's take it in sexual immorality. After all, I mean, you only kissed him. It wasn't that big of a deal. You know, plus nobody will know about it. It's not that big a deal. This voice is saying to you, it's okay. Well, this is what she's talking. This is exactly what God is talking about through this point here. She is mimicking the voice of his spirit and telling you it's okay. That what you're doing, albeit aside, totally against what God says is okay, is now okay. And we bite. And we follow through. Because after all, if God says it's all right, it's not a big deal, then it's okay. Right? But we don't recognize that this spirit has just gained control. Okay? Has totally actually took the driver's seat and now is running this thing into the ground. And you don't know how deep you're going to go and you don't know when you're going to wake up. You don't know. And there is no guarantee that you will. Hear me. There's no guarantee you will. She could drive you to the grave. It's that serious. And we're going to see how serious it gets. Okay? Next part. By her teaching, she misleads my servants. Misleads my servants. Big. Why is this big? Because here we have the identifying factor. First of all, we know what misleading is. That means that there may be an ounce of truth in it, but it's just enough outside of the truth to get you away from the truth. I'm serious. Sometimes it's just that one word in Scripture that just got changed just slightly. Changed the meaning just so slightly that now you're not even looking at it. You're not going back and checking the word. Because you're like, oh yeah, yeah, that's the Scripture. That's the word. And you go back and you don't check it. You don't research it. You just assume, oh yeah, that's God. And then it just gets a little more twisted and a little more convoluted and a little more twisted and a little more convoluted. And then soon enough, you're believing that the Scripture says that something way off the chart from what Scripture really says. And you're thinking, oh, but that's Scripture. No, no, it's not. Where are you reading from? Where's your book? You need to open that up. Ah, I don't need to read that. But the key here is not misleads, but servants. Hear me, servants. That means this is infecting the church. These are not just the people that are sitting in the pews, getting themselves fed Sunday, and go home and live their life just like the heathen. This is the people that are serving the Lord Monday through Friday, Saturday and Sunday. These are the people that are underneath the real true presence of God. These are people like us. We are servants. We are servants. Whether we admit it or not, yeah, we may not serve every day, but you know what? We're in some capacity looking for more. We're seeking God for more. We're looking to do more work. We want to do His will. We want to be a servant of the Lord. Amen? These are the people she is hitting. These are the people she's infiltrating. Why? Because these are the people that are a threat to her move. These are the people that are a threat to her. You are a threat. Let me say this again. You are a threat to her. Do not buy into the junk she wants to sell you any longer. You are a threat. That is why she is in your life. That is why she is trying to bring you down. Because you are a threat. Next part. Going on into sexual immorality, eating food, sacrifice to idols, giving her time to repent. But she is unwilling. She is unwilling. She will not repent. She is done. She is done. Okay? She will not repent. She ceded her place as this is not going to happen. She will not repent. So if you are under her will and you are influenced by the Spirit, what's that mean? You will not repent. You will not repent. So what do we have to do? Not quite yet. We'll be there in just a moment. I don't want to jump you guys too soon. Next part, and this is just a simple point here, is suffering. And this is just to explain further on when we get there. She will be cast on a bed of suffering. Okay? She will be suffering. As a matter of fact, she already is suffering. Because this has already been done. This battle's already been fought. We know who the winner is. She's already suffering. Here's the problem. Her influence still runs rampant. And because she's suffering, guess who else is going to suffer? You are. Because as she suffers, so will you. One hurts, all hurt. She's getting a death blow, stuff rolls downhill. Sorry, you're going to hurt too. So every time she gets growing pains, you feel them. Think about that. Have you been suffering? Have you been struggling? Have you been dealing with problems and situations that God says, you shouldn't have to deal with these things. These things are null and void. These things are done. I've covered this in the blood. But you're still suffering. Well, you got an influence of the Spirit then. And the last part is, of course, the most important part. Unless you repent of her ways. Unless you repent of her ways. She will not repent, therefore you will not repent. But, key, we can deliver ourselves from her if we repent of her ways. We have to repent of her ways. Bottom line. Okay? Bottom line. We have to repent of her ways. So here's the deal. Here's how it all flows down. If we just take that one scripture, pulled it all together, dissect it apart, we look at it and we see, okay, here's my thing. I got this spirit. It's within me. It's causing me pain. It's causing me to suffer. I need to, A, first, recognize that this spirit has control. I have tolerated and accepted this spirit's prevalence in my life. We have to admit. It goes right back to the ABCs. I have to admit this spirit has control in my life. I pointed her out. I fingerprinted her. She's identified. Now I need to turn around and go, okay, I found you. There's the door. Take out. Let's go. You're done. Your ways are not his ways. Your ways are not my ways. There's the door. Leave. I repent of all the influence that you had in my life, but no longer will you reside in this temple, in this body. Period. Here's your ticket. Be gone. And we need to then follow through with a new commitment to righteousness and to right standing. Because after all, if you just kicked her out and the door's still wide open, she's going to come right back in. She's going to come right back in. Because after all, you're leaving the door open for her. Right?
Yeah.
Right? All right? So let's look at some of this. First of all, let's identify her, right? I'm going to identify her for you today. I'm going to save you the trouble. You don't have to identify her. I already have. The new Jezebel of today, who is running rampant through our society, is the world. The world's standards, the world's laws, the world's legality, the world's things that the world promotes, everything that the world is saying is great for you is bad for you. Because that's Jezebel. She is the world's influence today. That is her identity. That is her form. That is the form she has taken. That's what she's doing. That's how she's working. She's working through the music you listen to. She's working through the television you watch. She's working through the movies you go to see. She is working through the people that you are trying to build good relationships with. She is working at the foot of every single government authority that you see before you today, making rules, making laws that promote abortion, that promote sexual promiscuity for teenagers, that promote rights to these teenagers that they don't have. Hear me. Let's take a look at some facts. Let's take a look at some facts so you can see that I'm not lying. Teenage pregnancy. 750,000 teens become pregnant each year. 82% are unintended. 57% of those end in birth, 29% in abortion, and 14% in miscarriage. 80% of the fathers do not marry the mothers. That is sad. But it's acceptable, according to the world standards. That's normal. That is a normal life. That's horrible. Single parents, raising kids, aborting kids, teenagers, 16, 15 years old. Horrible. Abortion, 3,700 a day, over 1.37 million a year. These are people that never even got a chance. Never got a chance. 52% of the people that get abortions are under the age of 25. 20% of them are teens. 65% are non-married. 18%, and here's a sad number, 18% of all those abortions are born-again believers. Born again. Know that they are killing life. They are taking that life away. That is so sad. That brought me to tears. And here's the other one. 70% are religious. 70% of them are religious. That means there's only 30% that don't know God at all. Well, even religion teaches God. Jewish, whatever, there's God there. Yet they accept the abortion as a reason or a right. That's so sad. And here's the last one. Last bit of facts. Divorce. Half of the marriages in the U.S. wind in divorce. Most of us know this. Divorce rates are higher where there is premarital pregnancy. Higher when there's premarital pregnancy. Not lower. Babies will not strengthen your marriage before you get married. They will only make it worse. It's just the facts, okay? Couples who live together prior to marriage are more likely to divorce. So thinking you can iron these things out or test the tracks before you get the, you know, what's the old saying, you know? I don't even remember it. I forget how it goes. I don't remember. Why buy the cow if you can have the milk for free or something like that? You know, that don't work. That causes more problems. That causes more trouble, okay? 38% of the couples who get divorces do so in the first 4 years. 4 years of marriage and there's a divorce. 38%. Really, really sad. Really, really bad. But note, there's her influence in our today's society. These are the ways she's saying, oh, but it's okay. Here's how she'll turn around and convince you too. Oh, but you're one of the couples that'll make it. You're not a statistic. Right? This is her influence, guys. This is what she's doing. She's got you. She's got you because, after all, the world standards are becoming more and more accepted in the church today. The world standards are telling the Church of America or Church of Jesus Christ what they should be doing, not the other way around. After all, you know, there's this ploy of church and state, you know, where we don't have influence in what they do. But we're allowing them to tell us what to do. I see a problem there. You don't got the right to tell me what to do. I don't got the right to tell you what to do. But if you want to tell me what to do, then I'm going to tell you where you're wrong. We need to fight back. All right? So let's see. Let's look at some of these other scriptures. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-8. Says, it is God, or it is God's will, that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust, like the heathen who do not know God, the world, and that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins. As we have already told you and warned you, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. That is really serious, because after all, if we're not accepting his righteousness and his right standing, we're rejecting him. So if we're allowing this Spirit to condone our behaviors that are outside of his righteousness, we have just kicked the Holy Spirit out of our life, who is, after all, our way to God. He is our voice. He is our connection. He is the voice of God in our ear, telling us, after all, you got a problem. You got to deal with this. I call him my voice of reasoning, Holy Spirit. He's my voice of reasoning, because without him, I don't know what's right or wrong. Left to my own devices, I choose to sin because it's good for me in a day. It'll get me through. It'll make me happy. But without the Holy Spirit, that would be my life. So what do you choose? What do you choose? Do you choose to sit there and take part of the Jezebel's ploy, the world's influence, what the world condones, what the world says is okay, or do we flip the coin on her and say, no, I'm fighting back. I'm making a stand. I'm going to fight back. Go to 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. And most of us know the scripture, yet still we forget we are not our own. We do not own this body. It's on loan. It's on loan. And a matter of fact, the second you accepted Christ was the day you sold out. You didn't have rights to it to begin with. You just thought you did. And God let you run around and do whatever you wanted to do. Destroyed it. You mangled it up. You beat it up. And you realized, oh, man, I did a real ratchet job on myself. I need something to fix it. Oh, God, you can fix me? Sure. Okay, here we go. I'll go to God. God, fix me. And then immediately after he's done, you forgot that you sold your car to him. You're trying to drive it off the lot. You sold your car to him. You sold it. You sold out. He's your way now. He is the way you get around. He is the way you move. He is the way you do things today. Yet, we still resort to the world's method. We still resort to what the world says. We still resort to the world's teaching. We forgot our place. We forgot where we stand. And it's sad. It is sad. We have to recognize that along with Jezebel comes this curse upon our heads. This curse of sexual immorality, this curse of feeling as though everything that's in us that we see today, the world's teachings, the world's acceptance as far as what we believe is good for us. Hear me, what's good for us, what we feel is good for us, is truly the working of this Spirit. The true working of this Spirit. And granted, this isn't just sexual immorality. Sexual immorality is just the major, major rampart that is in the world today. I want you guys to honestly be honest with yourselves today. Now, I'm going to open up the altar today. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Don't allow yourself to leave here today with an acceptance that I'm okay. That it's okay. I'm fine. It's everybody else. You know what? That stuff's got to stop now. It's got to stop now. Because you will not be an effective asset to the kingdom. You will become a casualty. Because she will drive you down and she will kill you. Because after all, that's what this spirit wants to do. And if you look at those stats, she is killing 1.37 million saints a year. 1.37 million saints a year she is killing. Tell me she's not going to kill you too. That's this nation. Yes. Well, actually, that was U.S. That's in the U.S. It's a sad number. And it is very, very hard to deal with. But if you believe, if you truly believe that she doesn't care, or she's going to keep you around for a little while longer, after all, she's going to give you second chances, she ain't going to give you no chances. Second she sees the opportunity to stick that knife in your back, you're done. She does not want you around because, after all, I said it again, I can't stress it enough, you are a threat. And if you recognize today you are a threat, but you need to be free so that you can stomp on her head. You can kick her out to the curb and you can start winning these same people in the world who are influenced by this spirit back to God. Because after all, this is the reason why people won't come and hear what God has to say for their lives. Because they see the pleasure that Jezebel offers as good for me. But we can show them that there is a better pleasure. There's the pleasure of knowing Christ. There's the pleasure of being healed from your aches and pains, from your sorrows, from the trauma that is influenced in your life, from the death and destruction that this spirit has caused. There is freedom and there is healing. And that is a joy and a pleasure that never goes away. That sexual desire you have, that's only fleeting. But what God has to offer is eternal. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. I just thank you, God, for your word, God. Lord, and I pray that as we would just continue to open up the altar, God, for people to come and be ministered to, God, that you would just prick the hearts, God, and not look at the sin issue, God, but to look at the spirit that's within, God, and to recognize it, God, and to just expose the spirit today, God, to not walk away, God, accepting that this is what the world does and this is what the world knows. You heard this message today, Lord, and I know that you are here in the midst of this message, God, and God, I pray that you would continue to minister to your people today, God. Lord, that you would open up our hearts, God, that we would not be holding on to these things any longer, God, but we would just open it up to you today, God. We would come forward, God, boldly, God, wanting to just start fighting back, to start taking our position as soldiers, God, and to not view ourselves as wounded and dead any longer, God, but to see that we still have fight in us and that we are going to fight back today, God. Lord, I just thank you, God, for your people today, God. I thank you for your word, God, and I ask that it would not find hard soil, God, or that it would fall on the rocks, God, but it would fall on the fertile soil today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.